Welcome to the Continued Silence with me, Emma Jane Taylor, here on UK Health Radio. The Continued Silence is a focused show on the uncomfortable conversation of child sex abuse and the importance of talking openly about this subject to try and normalise the conversation. Child sex abuse is real. It affects millions of people, young and old, across the world. The work we do is very much engaging more lateral thought processes on this terrible crime, supporting survivors, protecting children, and helping those not wanting to listen, to listen. Joining me every show is my resident panel, therapist Denny Corby, activist Chris Tuck, and my resident poet, Michael Boughton. Each show, we are joined by guests from around the world to share more insights on this crippling conversation and, of course, helping us share important messages. This month, we are joined by guests Jackie Taff and PJ Livett. So I am thrilled to be here again with these fantastic guests. We are talking about sexual harassment for this episode, a really big and interesting conversation. And again, a conversation that I'm sure will barely cram into this this show. So thank you to everybody who's joined me today. I'm going to come to you, Denny. Great to see you there. So, Denny, before we sort of kick off the show, sexual harassment is huge. It's, of course, any kind of unwanted behaviour of a sexual nature that makes you feel humiliated or intimidated, or that creates a hostile environment. And one of the things I would really like to start with, or throw at you, is there's a lot of crossover with this conversation where people don't understand and appreciate the inappropriateness of their behavior. And they kind of, you know, and I'm going to say guys, there's some guys who maybe don't realize, sorry, Mike, I'm sure you'll come in on this conversation later on. Guys don't realize that actually some of their conversation is inappropriate and very close to the mark. And a lot of women brush this off. And of course, when they don't brush it off, it becomes very challenging in conversations. So let's start there, and then let's see where we go.
Okay, it's great to be here again. So yes, you do throw things at me at the beginning of this, Emma Jane. I actually think of all the discussions that this show has covered and that I've been part of, I think this is probably the widest and most relevant topic. That scratches at what lies behind all forms of sexual harm. And what I mean by this is that sexual harassment underpins and normalises our attitudes and the actions taken and the behaviour and the verbalisation that we are subject to. I'd go as far as to say it often, I think, gives permission for sexual harm to be normalised and blame the person who's harmed. It's what contributes to our silence when we feel that we may have dressed in a certain way. And I think you're absolutely right, Emma Jane. I work, as you know, in 24 different schools, and the corridor language and banter and jokes that are ignored and often by senior leadership team kind of described as, well, boys will be boys, that she's so sensitive. I think it absolutely underpins why we are where we are today in terms of sexual harm.
Thank you. It's interesting, isn't it? I was just thinking there, permission for normal behaviours. And of course, you know, when you allow these conversations at school, in the pub, wherever you have them, girls bat it off. Men then get maybe encouraged by that conversation that they've got away with stepping over the mark. And then where is that thin line of going into harassment as opposed to comedy? And these are really big conversations, I think, for us to have today on this conversation. And, you know, if we look at the stats on this conversation, one in four women have been raped or sexually assaulted as an adult. One in six children have been sexually assaulted, and one in 20 men have been raped or sexually assaulted as an adult. And I've taken that from Rape Crisis England and Wales, the research that they've done on this conversation. Those stats, Chris, I'm going to introduce you now. Chris, those stats, this conversation, normal behaviour, you know, what we're trying to do with the work that we're doing to take this uncomfortable conversation forward, that line of humour and smut. It's so, I see it all the time in social media. I see it in people I know. You know, and when you do try to stop it or speak out against it, you can be shot down for this stuff, right?
Yeah. And I smiled when Denny said boys will be boys, because I've actually written that down myself. I hear exactly the same when I brought up a situation in a school. And that was exactly the line that was told back to me. And I'm like, actually, now I've brought it to your attention, that is actually a harmful act and it's not appreciated and it's not appropriate. Now you need to respond in the right way. Before, you didn't know, so you can get away with it. But now you've been told, you need to act responsibly and you need to be appropriate with any reaction. Yeah, so I think that's the line. Once you've pointed it out that it's not appreciated, anything else coming from that particular individual should not be tolerated. They've been told, they've been warned, they should learn from that and move on from that, you know? So that's the only way we're going to change the culture around this, is not only for girls and women to stand up for themselves, but for the men around to actually say, no, this isn't appropriate. No, you need to rescind that. You need to apologize for that, that saying, that phrase, that behavior. That's the only way we're going to change it, by everybody being part of standing up against it. Once you've called it out, it can't be repeated, because otherwise you're then complicit with it.
Thanks, Chris. Okay, as the only man in the room, Michael Boughton, I think it's a good time for us to come in with you here. Shouting it out, calling it out, you know, have you ever been in a situation, Mike, where you have heard, well, you must have been, you've heard men being smutty, sharing jokes, you know, in front of women, at women, in whatever situation. What do you do at that point? Or is it something now you're thinking, actually, maybe I should be more aware and say something?
Thank you. And yes, as a sole man on this program, I feel responsible and I carry that, but I don't find it uncomfortable. I find it very comfortable. I will always call someone out. I cannot tolerate bullies, and verbal bullying, physical bullying, anything like that. It's not, it's how it's interpreted. So there's a fine line between saying to someone, you look lovely today, and treating it as a compliment, and then saying something that can be sexualized in the wrong way. But if it is, then it's wrong and it should not be used. The cruel reality for me, and I'm not talking about sex abuse in itself, but there are generations that have got to die out, and the younger generations have got to be educated that this is what's acceptable. We're seeing more of that on social media and on television, that's really calling people out for the things they should or shouldn't say, irrespective of what happens. And I can only believe in that education. I'm very comfortable about it. I'm not proud of what men have got a perception, and it's not a perception, it's real, of how they behave. But that is something that goes back a long time ago, and we have to change that. And by doing programs like this, and by writing books, and by standing up and shouting, we can do this. And that's where I'm here.
Thank you, Michael. Before I come to my guest, I want to just go back to you, Denny. So, you know, Michael touched on something there that I want to touch on. And, you know, there's a lot of people calling out a lot of things in the media, on telly, comedians, so on and so forth. But still, this conversation carries on in comedy sitcoms, on the stage, in theatre, in film, and it isn't appropriate at any level. So, you know, you've got all the groundwork being done, our show, Michael speaking to you know, people that he wants to call out. Chris is an activist doing what she can in schools. You've got Jackie, you've got PJ here doing the great work that they're doing. And then suddenly on top of that, you've got A-list celebrities and major investment into movies and media activities still. And, you know, and I think there is, again, there's a line here, you know, that maybe they're dressing it up in a different way, but there is that line again where stuff, inappropriate stuff is being shared on a global scale that still people find funny. So it feels sometimes And I say this every time, it feels like an uphill struggle at times when you're faced with such a mammoth media.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think immediately springing to my mind is that the main pockets of a resistance to change are the people that gain from this behaviour. They're gaining from, you know, it's big money. It's
financial.
It's a real big gain, isn't it, to kind of mock other people and kind of hide behind humour. And I feel very strongly that it's such a wide topic, because it means that we have to get wider societal influences in place. It's not just schools, it's not just home. Look at how female athletes are sexualized, how they're interviewed after a sporting win, you know, the commenting on actually what they're wearing, how they look. So I'm absolutely with you on the fact that there's some good work being done out there, and individuals are really trying to change the tide. I guess we're swimming against the tide a little bit, but I don't think we can ignore that unless this is led from the top and organizations get on board. And that whole, remember what lies behind this, it's power and entitlement, isn't it? It's two things that lie behind this, and that is embedded in misogyny and gender stereotypes. So when I said at the beginning of this show, this is probably the widest topic I think we've discussed.
Yes.
I really do believe that. And the responsibility, as it does with child sexual abuse, lies with everyone.
Yes, it does. And I think before I start going down some articles that I want to show, I want to bring in my guests now today. So thank you, Jackie. Thank you, PJ. Let's come to you, Jackie. Let's just hear a little bit about the work that you're doing on these conversations.
It's lovely to be here with all of you, and thank you to the listeners. The work that I'm doing on these conversations is, like, I'm a life coach and I'm a hypnotherapist, but I'm also an adult survivor of child abuse, and I've written a book on it. And the purpose of the book really is just to educate and give people information on my personal journey. And then when they take that, they'll work the rest out for themselves, because within the book that I wrote and the tools that I put in it, that has helped me to really cope and manage what happened to me when I was 15 years old. Like, I went into a hospital to have my eyes straightened. Within 2 hours of admittance to that hospital, I was in a room and somebody presented themselves to me, which I thought was a doctor, and proceeded to, without my consent, examine me both internally and then to do a breast check. So it's back to what we're kind of talking today around that, you know, when do we say no? I said no that day. I turned to that person that day and said to him, what has this examination, as he said, I'm going to examine you down there, what's this got to do with my eye? And his response was, well, it has to be done. So it's about us educating women and educating our young women coming up, as in being able to stand and to say, well, no, because even though I said no back then, and we're talking 1984, he proceeded because he had put himself in a place of authority. And society, to a certain extent, is conditioned to trust certain figures in authority. And when we question that authority, we are often maybe labelled then difficult, when in actual fact, we're all entitled to question authority. We're all entitled to question anybody. If we feel instinctively and internally, this is just not right. So it's about us educating our young people. It's about us speaking about these scenarios. It's interesting that Michael mentioned, you know, that this is generational. You know, when you go back, I don't know whether you remember, and it wasn't done maybe deliberate, but, you know, when you had somebody visiting the house or somebody come, go over and give them a hug. Come on and sit on my lap. And sometimes I didn't want to sit on that person's lap. And I remember actually saying, I'm not sitting on their lap. So it's about us educating people to be able to speak, say no, and be okay. And also for society to be able to say, that's okay for them to do that, not undermine that person for making that individual choice. So it is around us having these conversations. It is around us saying, do you know what? It is okay for me if I'm in a conversation with somebody who I'm told they're in a position of authority, they might know more than me. But if they suggest to do something, that hold on, I'm okay, I can say no. And that's why even in the book, I put in some recommendations, particularly around patient care in the black and white rule. Make it very clear, there is no grey area. No is no. And, you know, we have come on to a certain extent now, as in safeguarding, you know, now you would have people in the hospital with you when you went to the hospital, but years ago you didn't, you were just left and you had your operation. And so there's better safeguarding. But what I do firmly believe is that we need to be proactively, and I think it would be wonderful, to have advocates on floors in hospitals, talking to parents, talking to patients, and then noting their experiences actually after they're discharged the hospital, filling in a document, which is nearly like mandatory for them, whereby they hopefully will be encouraged to share that story. So there's, it's, but everything's near, it's all intertwined, isn't it? It's all around, you know, well, what do I find acceptable as opposed to, you know, what do you find acceptable, Emma Jane? Or, but that when we can say, no, I find that uncomfortable. That's okay.
Jackie, I agree with you about the advocacy. And I know there has been a lot of incidences like you experienced back then, even happening today. And that came up in the inquiry that I was part of. And they have called for making sure that there are chaperones if a child hasn't got a caregiver with them, to make sure and to ensure their safety. And I want to go back just one step as well. So I have two children, a grown-up son and a grown-up daughter. And the way that I've experienced them as children growing up is that I've had to be particularly careful with my son and make sure, and I've taught him, this is how you treat women. And when he had a girlfriend, you don't treat your girlfriend like that, you treat her like this. And my son is beautiful man, and he's very considerate of women, but there's always they need guidance, they need teaching. So if you see something, you do need to call it out, and you do need to train them. And it starts with us training our sons and training our daughters as well, not to accept a certain level of behavior, or if they experience it or if they see it, to come and speak to adults that may be able to help them deal with the situation that they found themselves in. So I think there's a lot that adults can do to help their own children understand the world that they're in, but also to call it out if they're in a circle of friends as well. And it's not easy, I'm not saying it is, but that's where it's got to start, I think, to change the culture through the generations. What do you think, Emma Jane?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's such a, like, I mean, we knew straight away this was going to be a big conversation. So I'm going to just take this moment now to take a short break. And then we're going to come back and continue this with Jackie and PJ and just absorb what we've heard and take that forward. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be back very soon.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, welcome back to the show. So before we had a break there, we are talking about sexual harassment. Jackie has shared huge information for us to consider. Chris was talking about educating her young boys and what a great job she's done on that and how they should, treat people. And I think that's a really important thing. I just want to go back to something that Jackie said, and that is, when you let people, children in to houses and there's your auntie, your uncle, friend, let's hug everybody, let's love everybody. Of course, we do need to be cautious, but we need to be mindful. If we're telling children to trust by letting someone in to help them make them feel safe, and this is something I shared in my TED Talk, then this could be opening dangerous doors. And of course, there's the rub. We need to keep children innocent. We need to help them enjoy the magic of their young lives with the people they love, but we also need them to understand, how can any child judge a situation if they cannot distinguish between right or wrong? So helping that child, understanding language, understanding, helping them to understand when they can say no. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I would have been told off if I'd said no to an adult, someone that was known to my family, if I'd have been rude. But of course, we've got to give children permission to be able to use their voice. And actually, last month we had Dr. Sophie on with us, and she was also featured in the magazine, The Real Science, recently. And that was talking about what Chris was talking about, and what Jackie was talking about having chaperones, about, our rights at hospital to be having chaperones in with us. And of course, young people need to be aware of their rights to a chaperone, and what they can and can't have. And of course, we go into hospital, children go into hospital, we just do as we're told, but we should be able to say, well, hold on a minute, who's coming in with me? Who's going to help me in here? Okay, Denny, I just want to come back to you. Before we introduce PJ, this conversation, like we said, was going to be huge. But obviously, we're talking about sexual harassment, and the bigger conversation is that it's women being sexually harassed by men. But there is a small percentage of men being sexually harassed by women. And we have to also, even though that's a smaller percentage, I think we should include that in this conversation.
Absolutely. It's hugely important, isn't it? And we can't, we can't ignore the fact that it is predominantly women, girls, who are at the receiving end of this. But if we just see it in that way, we absolutely silence even further the young people, adults who have been abused or sexually harassed by women. I mean, take gender out of it. For me, if harm is caused, harm is caused. And I think, for me, I feel quite strongly about, if harm is caused to me, but that may not harm another, that doesn't mean I haven't been harmed. And that doesn't mean that I don't have a right to a voice and a right to challenge what's just occurred and what happened. And many clients sit in front of me really grappling and struggling with, but I know my friend wouldn't have been offended by that, or I know it's really irrelevant. We've got to get to a place, haven't we, where we can appropriately challenge and say, and I personally think no one has to explain or justify, but when I've been in that situation, just giving a little bit of how that has made me feel, what the harm has actually being done, how I'm feeling right now, has really helped. But I'm also really mindful that we all have histories, we all have our own narratives, and that's not easy to do. And for me, the responsibility yet again feels that it's on the person who's been harmed. When everyone else around is silent, they're complicit with the banter, with the jokes, with the harassment. You know, I love this little sentence, be part of the solution, not the problem. You know, whilst we stay quiet, nothing's going to change. But going back to your original point, Emma Jane, it's really, really important. I think we're all human beings, we're all individuals, irrespective of gender, harm can be caused.
Yeah, thank you.
Can I just mention something?
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, it's absolutely, it doesn't matter whether you're female or male or whatever you are, you know, when you're abused, end of story. And I don't think that society has helped men, particularly, by saying, well, men don't cry. Don't cry. You're a big boy. And telling men and telling young men and children as they grow into men that they can't be vulnerable and weak and that men don't cry. That is a huge thing. I would foresee that, talking as a female, but I would foresee that as a huge barrier to any man if he wanted to say no to a girl that was harassing him or say, I've had enough of it. That, oh God, you know, he's a bit of a wimp, isn't he? So it's all around those constructs, around, you know, these belief systems that we are, you know, they're meant to be this way. When in actual fact, they're not.
Yes. Okay, you know, Jackie. So I want to bring PJ into the conversation now. Sorry to cut you there. We'll come back to you, Jackie. But PJ, you know, great to have you with us. And, you know, what a great big show already. And I know you work very much in this space of sexual harassment and with the work that you're doing. So, you know, I would really like you, Jackie, PJ, to introduce yourself. And also, if you could just, having listened to us go on already throughout the first part of this show, just bring your own thoughts to this conversation.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it's been fascinating. As I'd already identified, it is a huge subject, so we could talk for months, which I promise I won't. So I'm PJ. I am the founder of Rephrase, which is providing healthy relationships and sex education without the awkwardness. And my passion from the very young age of 14 was to work in the field and take a proactive approach, a preventative approach. So I work with independent schools and state schools, youth groups, teachers, parents, working with the local police force and those who have experienced domestic abuse sometime in their life. I do this by usually in the form of a workshop. So it's kind of interactive and it's very relaxed. I find the whole conversation around sex is an interesting one and I can clear an entire room at occasion. So it is very much about making this a normal, healthy conversation. And I mean, I was in a school and we were talking about red flags, toxic behaviour, and some of the anonymous feedback that came about. There's one 14-year-old that said, I won't let him treat me in an unhealthy way anymore. And that was following being able to actually identify the behaviour that they were experiencing, name it and call it out. And in that moment, I got goosebumps because I knew in that moment, somebody somewhere had made a choice for the better. And so for me, it's so much about empowering young people to know what abuse looks like, being able to call it out, actually sort of say it, what the words are. And that's strongly linked to understanding our bodies. So the amount of people that find it difficult to talk about their body parts. So, you know, for safeguarding as well as medical reasons, young people need to know what their body parts are, what they're called. And I came across some research where 46% couldn't identify, or didn't realize they had three holes. And the question was, can you still wear a tampon and wee at the same time? So there's, you know, and I've had this from students, 9% correctly labelled the seven structures of the vulva and 65% didn't want to say the words vulva or vagina. So there's a real taboo and shame about this. And as long as this conversation is kind of squashed, I think there's going to be that greater risk to individuals in terms of their safety and well-being.
Thank you. Okay, Michael. You know, listening to PJ there and this conversation, and obviously being a boy and having been at school and had all these conversations, you know, I go into schools, I work with children as well, in various different parts of my own business, and it's still very taboo. I know that, you know, I know the uncomfortable conversations are there to be struggled, but it is a penis, it is a vagina, you know, we need to get used to it being call that and not put fluffy names around these things, because it's the fluffy names that I truly believe cause the problems for these kids. What about you, Michael?
Yeah, I get that. And this is also goes back to this generational thing again, that we grew up with what you could and couldn't say. And that comes from back to Victorian times. And there was a time before when we didn't have those inhibitions and people would. And only by, I'll use the word education again, but using it to the point where it doesn't become something offensive. Now, that doesn't mean, like anything else, you have to break into someone's personal space. But normalizing things is fundamental to this, to break those barriers down. And I don't want, you know, generations disappear, but sadly, there's the reality. There are people that will still vote for a party even though they don't believe in their party anymore, because they always have. And they'll justify their actions because they are old or that's what they've always done. Well, that's unacceptable. And if people won't change, then it's when they've gone that we can move on. We are doing that. It is happening. There's no doubt about that. That's why this program is going. That's why this program is so successful, because the message is getting out. There are books. Jackie's got the book there. And everyone are advocating. That's a great word, by the way. Chris, I'm using the word advocate in my poem, as it's called The Light, by the way. Just thought I'd mention that. It's not about being uncomfortable. I'm comfortable with this, but that doesn't make it easier. We just have to stand up. And I don't care if you want to say I'm a man and I do my very best. There was something else that was said earlier on as well, and that is we're learning. We have to keep learning all the time, and we learn what we can and can't do. As long as we listen and learn, then we will benefit. And by the way, I'm a man and I do cry. So there you go.
Yeah, and you're so in touch with your feelings, Michael, you know.
There's something else there. You just said it. You're so in touch with your feminine side. No, I'm not. I'm in touch with being a man. But that's an expression we use, which will change. And we're not labelled, apart from the fact I'm called Mike. That's my name. That doesn't make me anything other than that. Yes, I'm a man and I'm Mike. But I am in touch, and do you know what? You've helped me as well. Everyone that comes on this program have helped me be proud of who I am, which is a positive.
That's a really good. That is a real positive, and I think you know the fact that you're advocating for this conversation, for allies and encouraging people to behave in a certain way is really important. But let's stay with you, Mike. Because you do write a poem for every show, and as our resident poet here, let's take this moment now to indulge in this.
Well, just by chance, in the green room before the program, the word "the beacon of light" came out, and my poem today, from a different angle, from my angle as an ally, is called "The Light." There is so much in this world I don't understand. Doesn't make sense to me. But I have to hold my values true about who I'm meant to be. I cannot accept bullying. I cannot accept abuse. And even if it isn't directed my way, this is the path I will choose. I will be your advocate, your confidant, and never let you down. Whatever has gone on and who you are, I promised not to back down. There are times within our lives when we must reach out for hope. So reach for me now. I am here, a rescue line, your rope. So amidst the confusion and silent thoughts, I will bring a light for you. A light to the end of the tunnel. Together we can break through. And that's together, not alone.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Always a beautiful listen, and I know it comes from such a nice heart space as well. So thank you, Mike, for sharing that with us today. Look, this conversation is big. I want to just come to Jackie and PJ again before I go on to Chris. Now, Jackie, you say your key message is you are your greatest advocate. Speak your truth. Speak it kindly, question kindly. You are not your thoughts. Invest time in yourself and in understanding how the mind works. PJ, your key message is that young people know they deserve and have the right to experience healthy relationships, that they are able to have the knowledge and language to recognize, name, and call out toxic, abusive relationship behaviors, and understand they have autonomy when it comes to their body. So PJ, the calling out, now this is really an important part of this conversation, I think, because calling out an abusive behavior as an adult isn't easy. Certainly now, as a 50-year-old woman who feels very confident and brave, I will call out what I believe isn't right, and I will support those that I feel need supporting. But as a young girl at high school or even in primary, calling out abusive behavior was not something I could even ever have considered or known that I could. And that goes back to what we were saying sort of at the beginning of this show. So what's your advice to safely call out toxic, abusive relationships or behaviors for young people? And I say that because I've seen, through my own work and research, I've seen so many young people end up in serious situations or taking their lives because they've called out behaviors, and then they have been hugely trolled, bullied, and because of that, they can't cope themselves. So I just want to, just before I go to you, Chris, I just want to hear what you have to say on that, PJ, and how we can advise young people right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the key to start with is to help them learn and understand what is actually happening and naming it. So often due to, you know, it could be gender norms, sexual scripts, it could be stereotypes, they kind of, as we've covered, it kind of can feel normal. So I think it's really helpful to empower them to recognize what's actually going on. And when we begin to distinguish that, they know that that's right or wrong, it is a bit easier to actually challenge it. And I would always recommend that you get support. So if you've noticed something, whether it's to do with yourself or others, get support around you. It's a bit like being a bystander. You know, if it's safe to do so, intervene. It's that kind of concept. But it's absolutely critical to, and that's why I work with young people, because I want them to realize they have the power and they have the right, you know, they deserve to experience healthy relationships. And I find self-esteem a massive thing. So, you know, the first hurdle is convincing them, showing them that they deserve to be happy and not put up with bad behavior that is abusive, toxic, whatever. So it's really difficult, but I would always suggest getting that support. But I think I've seen it when they realize, when that truth hits them, it somehow just lights something up where they kind of, you know, it's like knowing that an apple is an apple. Mm. When they know, and particularly nowadays, they often are much stronger at kind of getting together as a group and going, do you know what? That's not okay. Mm. And the more that this is covered in the media, and we've seen recently Olivia Harrison and Stephen Bear in the press, you know, they're going to name them.
Don't talk to me about that. But honestly, it's one of the biggest bugbears of mine. Yeah. I've been trying to get that guy off social media for years, for months.
But it's there. I think because it's so current and it's so there. I think that there are positive changes, although this is hugely overwhelming and it's a massive issue. There are lots of changes happening and it's really encouraging. So I hope in time that will enable younger people to feel more empowered quicker to address things and call behaviour out.
Perfect. Look, we're going to take a short break. Don't go anywhere, because this show is coming up for the last few minutes. We've still got lots to talk about, and it's a really important conversation.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so welcome back to the show. I'm going to come to you, Chris. I know you wanted to speak before the break as well. But, you know, sticking with this conversation and telling or helping young people call out abusive behaviour, sexual harassment, obviously we're talking about sexual harassment, understanding, actually identifying what sexual harassment is, you know, observing sexist behaviour. People, maybe they'd be flirting with me. Maybe people are bullying you using seniority or position. Inappropriate behavior online, sharing personal information that you don't want or need to know, or sharing stuff about you. Helping young people understand how you behave. If you can educate that early enough, and I strongly believe if we can educate people early enough on this conversation, then not only are we supporting and helping young people to not become victims, we're potentially helping those who have strong desires to offend to understand that that's not right either. So it's sort of undoing lots of things there. But, you know, I just wanted to say that. But Chris.
So I just want to pick up on a point that PJ was saying about the right language, the anatomy words. I think we should all be learning those anatomical words for the private parts, the vagina, the penis, etc. And the reason why I've brought that up again is because culturally and in some ethnicities, they don't actually have the words in their language for penis and vagina. So they, in their home environments, and I've heard all of this through the inquiry and the work that I've done with ethnic minority groups within that, they don't literally have the language, the translation for those words. And if they don't go to a Western school, for example, but they go to a school that is their language that's spoken there, they don't ever get to hear about this. So if they don't know the right language and abuse within the family home becomes normalised, then they don't actually have the words and the vocabulary to speak out about it. And that is quite a big issue for that sector. And also I wanted to just talk about peer pressure and pack mentality. So we're talking about bystanders and upstanders, those that will call it out and those that will be complicit in this. The more we can train or educate and raise awareness for as many young people as possible, I am hoping, we are hoping, that when it comes to peer pressure and pack mentality, it will go to the positive end of what we're talking about and not the negative end, because that is an issue with children following other children and doing what they are doing because they do not know any better or they feel pressure to be doing that. So I think we need to call all of that out and bring attention to that as well.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Yeah, again, hugely important points. And I think, you know, calling it out, giving people the confidence to be able to take conversations forward will always be something that, for me, is a vital part of the work that we're doing. Okay, so Jackie is at www.jackietaffe.com. She is J-A-C-Q-U-I-T-A-A-F-F-E. And we will put all of this, will go out on the socials anyway. So don't panic. You can find Jackie through her website and then she can direct you accordingly. So Rephrase, which is PJ's business, is on Instagram. In fact, PJ, what's your website?
So it's www.rephrasesw.co.uk.
.co.uk. And if you go there, you will find everything that you need to know about PJ as well. Okay, Denny, over to you. Let's take a summary for today's show before we start winding up.
Okay, so what an interesting show. My head is buzzing more than it ever has done before, if I'm honest. But what we know, that change is happening. Change is needed because the facts are that our young people of today are our adults of tomorrow. So we have to start getting this right now. And I think, as always, I feel like a broken record sometimes, so forgive me. But I do think it's not, you know, there's multi-prongs in dealing with this. We have got, from the top, look at the government. You know, we've had policy and guidelines and safeguarding practices in place for a very, very long time. They mean nothing. Absolutely nothing if we don't have accountability from the very people who write them and present them to us. So I think we didn't touch on that today, but I really wanted to say that I really strongly feel that our young people are seeing MPs, government, police, top authority figures experiencing exactly the same that they are within their schools and their life. I think the Ofsted report from Robert Long in February 2022 highlighted a massive, massive problem within our schools. And I think, PJ, it's fantastic. And you live just down the road. I think we're going to have to meet up. But in terms of the work that I do, you know, within schools, and the Ofsted report really shone a light that girls no longer even think it's worth reporting it, because even if they do know it's sexual harassment, they really, truly feel that nothing's done. And it's all right saying we have a behaviour policy, but is the reporting, is the way schools deal with it? And I hate to kind of criticise schools too much because they do a great job, but we've not got it right. We really haven't. So for me, it's targeted work, education, exactly what PJ and Jackie were saying, really, was that unless we go back to basics and really allow our young people to use the correct terminology, know they have a right to say no, know they have a right to put a boundary in place. And we see that matched with government giving funding and real substance behind policy and procedure, we're always going to be struggling. And I think for me, the last thing I would like to say in terms of young clients and working within school is that access to pornography is so vast and wide and extreme now. You put that alongside not really understanding your body and not really understanding consent and relationships. Is it any wonder we have extreme harmful behavior, beliefs? This is what I have to do to be sexually attractive. So a major, major topic today. It's been fascinating. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Denny. I recently heard a young boy talking about the number 69 and laughing in front of girls. And I said, what do you mean? And he went bright red. I said, I don't understand what this number means. Is it significant? And he was absolutely mortified, didn't know where to put himself, didn't know what to do. The girls were sort of like giggling, giggling, giggling. And the boy walked off and I said, I don't know what that was about, but does anyone want to show me? And of course, they were all mortified. And it's just no one really, they don't know really what that means. They don't understand. But it's this jokey. Understanding consent, understanding behaviours, understanding language, as Denny was just saying, is a really important point for young people. And of course, you know, taking that into later life, understanding what's sexual harassment. So, you know, if we could sort of, you know, bottle all of this up and take all of this into school as an education, it would be a great start. Obviously, you know, you guys are all doing great work on these conversations, and thank you for doing all this great work, because it really does make a difference. Jackie, I'm just going to come to you before we come off air today. Thank you, Denny. You know, Jackie, sort of sitting with us here, we're coming up to the last few seconds now. So you've got about a minute. Just summarising what you've heard today, what do you think has been the most important message that we've shared?
Oh, wow, that's a big question, Emma Jane. Thank you very much. I mean, everything that we've talked about today is important. And I suppose the key of all of this, you know, to empower our young people so that we can make these changes and that they'll move forward and be informed, is education. We've got to give education. We've got to create awareness. We've got to discuss, you know, what beliefs are, and that, you know, in actual fact, some of these, you know, we are not our thoughts. The certain beliefs that we have are just simple constructs. And, you know, education and awareness and boundaries, and that it is okay to say no, and to encourage others to support those that say no, and that they're not bystanders. That we come together. And I suppose, too, it's something to consider to create groups like that, that are going to empower others not to be a bystander or to kind of turn a blind eye and, oh, I saw nothing, or that's okay, because it's actually not okay. And I loved the conversation, and I think we should be here for about 3 hours. And maybe
yes,
3 hours.
We really should, and we don't have that time. But thank you, Jackie. PJ, let's come to you. Same question, you know, what would be the key for you coming out of today?
I think it's helping young people be informed and be critical thinkers. So as mentioned briefly, the porn thing is a huge problem. With no frame of reference, often young people are literally watching it, and that is their sex education. So it's very much about teaching them to be critical thinkers, empower them to make healthy relationship decisions, and develop healthy behaviours.
Thank you, PJ. And Chris was mentioning, let's go back to the beginning of the show when she was talking about her boys, educating her boys. Chris, I thought that was, you know, that is something that we should all be doing anyway, and we shouldn't be reminded. But of course, we do need to remind parents to help their boys understand how to treat girls. So, you know, Chris, you know, as a parent now, just in the few seconds now, what can parents really do to encourage good behavior and respect for the other sex?
So for me, it was just being in tune with my kids and actually watching how they conduct their relationships. And yeah, the way that some of the conversation was going, I thought, that's not quite right. I need to pull him up about that or say to her why I'm saying certain things. So it's just a constant open conversation, communication to just help them in their learning about the world and just being safe.
Okay, Mike. Same conversation, same question to you. You know, this has been big. You're sat there with a different hat on anyway. What do you take forward from today?
We need to do this again and again and again and again. And we touch on the subject. And it's so difficult because what I know is that every time someone talks about subject, they bring their own experiences into the conversation. And of course, that's important that people are able to connect with how that relates to them. So it's just more, keep going. And we just open up, and it's not a can of worms now, we just open up a sense of where we can go with this. So yeah, more.
Danny, I know we've done the summary, we've taken some, you know, key messages out of this. I think more is really important, you know, critical thinking. I really liked what PJ said there, and we've got to allow young people to be more critical thinking. But that's, again, a challenge, right, for children to be critical thinkers.
Absolutely. If you look at how the curriculum works these days in school, we don't really encourage critical thinking in many areas of their lives. It's all become a little bit robotic. So to actually scratch beneath the surface with them and actually let them know it's okay to not get things right. We've lost the ability to tell our truth. And if our truth means we're challenged a little bit on that, then so be it. That's how we learn. And I think for me, stepping away from the gender war, and I say that with a little bit of a wince in my face, but let's not pitch girls against boys. If girls don't know, how do boys know?
Yes.
So it really is about kind of entering into this in a holistic way and creating an environment where it's safe to get it wrong and ask questions.
Safe to get it wrong and to ask questions. Well, look, we are coming up to the end of the show. We have minutes left. I don't know where the time goes. But what a show it has been. So thank you, huge thank you to my resident panel, Denny Corby, Michael Borton and Chris Tuck. They do incredible work, not just here with me on UK Health Radio. They do. You can follow them on with their businesses and activism and poetry. We will share all the details on Twitter. So do go and search those guys out as well, because they do phenomenal work. Thank you to my guest, Jackie Taff, www.jackietaff.com, and also to PJ Livett, who is www.rephrasesw.co.uk. I also want to say a huge thank you to Johan at UK Health Radio, and also to Christine and everyone else working behind the scenes with me to make this show happen. They really do phenomenal jobs. It's not an easy subject for us to keep bringing into people's lives each month, but more and more people coming forward really does help us share these messages. So I think without a shadow of a doubt, we will do this conversation again. Like Mike said, it's a really important conversation to take forward. We just scratched the surface. We just really scratched the surface. And I think, you know, we really shouldn't scratch the surface. And I just want to leave you with this, you know, if you feel that someone is sexually harassing you, you do have options and a voice. You know, if you are unsure about whether someone is sexually harassing you, but you're feeling under pressure and embarrassed by the conversations, you do have a voice. And I think what was really apparent from the conversations that we had earlier is make sure you're safe when you share. Make sure that you are looked after and not feeling vulnerable when you take anything forward. And we are here for you at UK Health Radio as well. I'm at EJ the Mentor on Twitter. And so we can signpost you on, but you're not alone. Thank you to everyone again. It's been a brilliant conversation, and I look forward to seeing you next time. For now, take care.